Hare Krishna. I can't answer any questions because we're doing the reading at Keshav Bharti Maharaj's place, and I left my computer over there and up here doing puja. But I'd like to just recount a pastime and a teaching, a moral that we can gain from that pastime that we were just reading recently in the read, and it was very touching, and it had to do with the seriousness of taking and keeping vows and of being faithful to Krishna in Kali Yuga. The last leg of religion, truthfulness, is waning. And truthfulness has got a lot of aspects. It means withholding the truth. It means telling the falsity. It means not telling the whole story. Not being true to what someone had said, either some vow, commitment, and unfortunately, it's a practice that's extremely prevalent, and that's why it's called the age of hypocrisy. People think one thing, say another, or the reality is one thing, but someone's speech or conduct is something else. And this pastime has to do with Gopal Champu, Jiva Goswami, particularly slanted and wrote Gopal Champu in a way as to ultimately show Radha and Krishna, Krishna and the gopis, as actually being married. There were people during his time who were very much against the Paraki above, or Krishna's illicit relationship with the gopis, and considered that the topmost relationship must be a licit married relationship. So interesting that despite so close to the time of the Goswamis, at a time when people were much more learned than at the present, in the presence of people like Jiva Goswami, still there's such misunderstandings and disagreements. So in order to pacify these people, Jiva Goswami did imply, or did write, a marriage of Krishna and the gopis, marriage. He also thought of their illicit relationship or their paramour relationship, but he also wrote of their marriage. And this marriage takes place in Gauravai. Gauravai is in Lohavan, and it's not in Nandagram. And it takes place after Krishna and the Brijbasis, or after the Brijbasis returned from meeting with Krishna in Kurukshetra. And Krishna went to Dwarka, killed Shalva, and then came and killed Dantavakra outside Mathura. And then from there he came and he returned home and spent 2 months with the Brijbasis. And during that period of 2 months, then Krishna wanted to fulfill the gopis' desire as to be his husband. And so he made an arrangement with Yogamaya. And that arrangement was that Yogamaya proposed that Krishna could marry the gopis. The gopis had been in love with Krishna ever when they were young, and that now that Krishna had returned, he could marry the gopis. Obviously, this was objectionable to everyone since the gopis were already married to other men. But Yogamaya pointed out that no, not so. In order to preserve the gopis' mood, their chastity, and their fidelity to Krishna, she had manufactured copies, replicas of all the gopis, and it was these replicas of the gopis who had close connection with their husbands, and the other gopis always remained aloof, or they were either with Krishna or they were hidden from their husbands at those times. Whereas at other times, then the two gopis, or the two forms, would then merge into one. And therefore, Yogamaya proposed, and since this is the reality, gopas already have the replicas of the gopis as their wives, therefore the original gopis can marry Krishna. And to prove her point, she manifests both groups of gopis side by side. That there were two Radharanis, and two Chandravalis, and two Lalitas, and two Vishakas. And, of course, that was very convincing to everyone. And everyone was then satisfied. Well, that's all right. Nothing improper going on here then. The men were, husbands were satisfied. They already had their long-standing wives. And so they wanted to arrange a wedding time. But then the gopi spoke up. Srimati Radharani spoke up. And she said, well, but whereas this is true, but there were times when the two gopi bodies were merged into one. Those times at which they were cooking or doing household chores and so on. And in the future, people may doubt the faithfulness of the gopis, whether they actually were faithful to Krishna, or perhaps they were actually soiled by contact with the other men. And the gopi said, and we don't want to bring this type of dishonor on Krishna or enter into a marriage with this type of possibility. So everyone was just puzzled about what to do. And they continued. They said, long ago, we made a sankalpa, we made a vow, and we wrote the following letter. And they produced that letter, and the letter said, if ever, even in the slightest way, we ever think of any man other than Krishna as our beloved, not to speak of act, but think, then let our bodies be burnt in fire. Or another way of interpreting it is, that since we have never ever been thought of anyone else other than Krishna, and this truth can be verified by trial by fire. So everyone was very horrified to hear such a what kind of vow? A very terrible vow, and a severe vow. Still, the gopis were adamant, and just at that time, as conversation was going on, Durvasamuni showed up. And when Durvasamuni heard about all of these things, then he proposed, all right, I will make a fire from my own mystic power, and the gopis can walk through that fire. So he did that, and the gopis did walk through the fire, and they were neither burnt, neither were their clothes burnt. They were unscathed. They didn't feel anything. They were, because they were completely pure. There was nothing to burn. There was no impurity there. And that then satisfied everyone. Everyone was completely satisfied, and the gopis were completely satisfied. And then there was a marriage. So the, for me, I was, when I read it, I thought, read many times before I knew it, it was such a strong message that this is really what taking vows are about. This is really what being faithful to Krishna is about. That once you determine to do it, once you say you give yourself to Krishna, then you don't take it back. Not only do you not follow those vows, but as in the way of the gopis, one doesn't even think of not following them. so much so that one's faithfulness can be tested by fire. I don't particularly plan to walk through fire today or tomorrow, but nor do I recommend it for anyone. But it's certainly something for us to think about and aspire after, to really take very seriously the fact that, yes, now that we have become devotees and we've literally given ourselves to Krishna, it's not fair to either take ourselves back or not surrender to Krishna. It's not fair even to, within our minds, to entertain other thoughts or other ideas, because that's not what really being truthful means. And this example of the gopis is really a beautiful example, something that's worth meditating on, this concept of faithfulness, honesty, being resolute in one's determination to be Krishna's, that we're Krishna's, we don't belong to anyone else, we have no attraction for other things, or if we do, we just shun it. The desire to conduct ourselves in that way is certainly a very powerful shelter and determination that really helps devotees advance in Krishna consciousness. Anyway, that was it for today. Hare Krishna.